The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." And Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, and if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, do believe this." She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." She went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here." For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. Her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her, presuming that she was going was and saw him. She fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. For those Irish among us, happy St. Patrick's Day. So we get a bit of an answer in our gospel today to that question that I think every single one of us in one way or another, if we live long enough to as children to start thinking, but we wrestle with and usually put in some way, why do bad things happen to good people? And more specifically, that questioning, that struggle with the gift of faith. If God is all loving and he's all powerful, why do these bad things happen? So today is the final scrutiny. A few moments, Andrew will receive it here at Good Shepherd on the way to baptism at the Easter Vigil in less than 2 weeks now, and can celebrate it throughout the world. And as we've been making our way these past 3 weeks, always these particular readings each week connected to these scrutinies, to this preparation to receive the sacraments, not just baptism, but confirmation and the Eucharist for the first time. And among other things, one of the big focuses, and a gift obviously not only for Andrew here at Good Shepherd, but for all of us, is for us to be able to kind of reflect on and hopefully grow in the gift of faith, the importance of it, and as in some ways as well to see what it is and how we're meant to use it, because we're meant to use it, even though we've been given it. And so 3 weeks ago, it was Jesus and the Samaritan woman and this reality of how we're thirsting, and from her bodily thirst to see these deeper thirsts, these deeper longings, and that God is a thirst quencher for us, as well that he has a thirst, and that faith helps us to receive what he wants to give us that satisfies and ultimately satisfies our deepest longings above all is him, and that worship. And then last week, the healing of the blind man, the man born blind from, and this reality of faith. Faith helps us to see, helps us to grasp truth and reality. And then today, of course, life itself. That the gift of faith allows us to receive a life that literally overcomes death. In that regard, too, then, this gift of faith in the context of our thirst and our blindness and death helps us to see the reality of sin, that sin is a false thirst quencher, you know? That when we choose sin, we think it's always going to do something good. That's why we choose it, but it ends up actually making it worse and increasing our thirst. And it's a false truth that proposes to us false goods. And that when we choose it, it increases our blindness. And ultimately, of course, we know that it leads to death. That's the ultimate effect. And so Paul, in our second reading, talking about the flesh, not our bodies, but that part of us that has been separated from God and the death that it leads to. And as the Samaritan woman discovered, as the blind man came to see too through faith, as Martha as well, invited to grow in that gift of faith to see that Jesus doesn't just bring those things, he is those things. He's that living water and he is truth and he is life. And it's the gift of faith that really allows us to receive him and all that he has to offer. It allows us to see our need and our incapacity to address that need, that I really am blind. I really am searching for more than just passing pleasure, and even the good relationships, and as eternal as those are meant to be, I'm made for God. And ultimately, of course, that we don't have power over death, but Jesus does. And in these readings, and including today, we see both that God is willing, he's able, and he's willing. Jesus is able to address our need, our thirst, and our blindness and death, and he's willing to do that. He thirsts for us, and he's moved by our blindness. As we heard last week, the one blindness that he's most disturbed by is the person who doesn't think they're blind because he can't remove that blindness. And here he brings life where there's death. And he weeps yet, knowing that he'll restore Lazarus' life, but weeping over the fact that he didn't make us to die. He didn't create death, as scripture tells us, for us. And at times our lack of faith that keeps us there. And yet in the midst of Lazarus' death, on this account, we see this struggle particularly with Martha and Mary, but kind of God kind of provokes it. Jesus, if you love me, and you could have done something about this, why didn't you? You know, it's interesting, maybe you caught it, but twice we're told specifically that Jesus loved Lazarus and loved Martha and Mary. You know, John's gospel talks about the beloved disciple. You know, we think that refers to himself, but also he doesn't ever name himself there, partly because we understand as disciples we're all beloved of the Lord, and yet he goes out of his way to make sure everybody knows Jesus loved Lazarus. And then it makes it clear immediately in that context. It says, and so, as soon as he heard that Lazarus was dying, he did nothing. He stayed where he was for 2 days. And then after that, he said, let's go. And he made it clear, I'm doing this to glorify the Father. And say more about that. He's talking about his own death. He knows that actually this will lead to his death, precisely to overcome death for us. But already we see this odd reaction. Why would you do that, Jesus? And so Martha and Mary, they both ask the same question. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have had to die. And yet Jesus' answer is to invite them, and we see specifically Martha in this longer conversation, to a deeper faith. God, in various ways, on the one hand, makes clear that death for all of humanity entered into this world and our reality because of sin. But that original sin, as we now put it, that this state of sin, not personal sin, a choice on our part, but something we've inherited because we're all connected. All of humanity is joined together and made in God's image. And so that's an aspect of it. But as, and this was made abundantly clear last week with the blind man born blind, not every bad thing, whether it's a physical suffering or disease or even injustice done against us, happens because of a personal sin we've done. Sin brings those things in some way, but at the same time, it's much bigger than that, you might say. And yet Jesus doesn't fully explain all of it, but rather invites Martha to a deeper faith. This reality of, I am addressing this. And though you don't fully understand, I am, as he put it to her, the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me, who has this faith, this trust in me, will never die and always lives. You know, our faith is not silliness. It's certainly not irrational. It goes beyond, though, what we can fully grasp in this life, for sure. There are reasons for belief, and obviously one here for the people present there in a powerful way was Jesus, Lazarus being restored to life. We're told some of them began to believe because of that. And even Martha and Mary, who believed, their faith was increased. Even after her conversation with Jesus, she still doesn't realize what God can do and wants to do in this situation. Don't roll the stone back. My brother's rotting away. There's nothing you can do now. And yet there is. God invites us in Jesus to see how he is addressing. He's addressing all evil, but it's through the cross. There is still mystery there for sure. There is the need, and this is part of our brokenness because this is profoundly the area ultimately we all struggle in, to trust in the Lord, to have that faith in the Lord, who he is, and also what he promises to us, what he's done for us and what he will do. And so he invites us to a deeper faith, and so this great gift of faith, we recognize how in many ways God has been at work in Andrew's life and all those who will be baptized, but also how he will be given it in a deeper and, you might say, eternal way in baptism. And God is going to do something for him. Take him from death to life. Give him a sight. Start to quench his thirst with the living waters that he is. So maybe for all of us today, maybe a couple of practical things come to mind to offer each of us. What is just to pay attention, particularly this week in your own prayer? Where's one area in your life where you're struggling to hope in God, or you realize I kind of lost hope in God? I didn't realize it fully, but now I see it more clearly through His grace. If it's an area in your own life, there's certainly areas where we might struggle with sin, but also, again, it could be something that happened years ago, or maybe it's the death of a loved one, or it's something going on in a loved one's life, some sickness or some struggle or something going on in our country or the world or the church. But an area where I've kind of lost hope in the Lord, because He hasn't acted in a way that I expected or looked for, maybe I've given up that that will ever change, or somehow what has happened is permanent. God brings life where there's death. Huh? Be able to bring your heart, as Martha and Mary did, they brought their questioning, their complaint to the Lord. He responded, bringing yourself to the Lord in those areas, allowing Him to respond. At the same time, we are a people of faith. We aren't told a lot about Lazarus after he was restored to life, but he clearly, from the little we're told in Scripture, he became kind of a big deal. People sought him out, not surprisingly, and because of that, we are told one thing, that the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, who it was specifically because he raised Lazarus. As soon as he raised Lazarus from the dead, restored him to life, we're told they went off and said, okay, that's it, now we have to kill Jesus. Right? Jesus knew that. I'm going to do this thing and it'll lead to my death, precisely to destroy death. And yet they said, well, we need to kill Lazarus too. Right? Not surprising. Like, that had to have been a defining and pitiful moment in the rest of his earthly life. Well, you and I, in our own way, are meant to share our faith, to share, certainly through our words, also through our actions, that Jesus really is who he claims to be. He really does quench our thirst and give us sight and give us life. And that's begun now, and that's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a tremendous thing. Many of us, myself included, baptized as babies. In some ways, there's kind of not a before and after to compare to, but there's always that understanding. We can grow in our appreciation and our realization. And for some of us, even though we might have been baptized in babies, there's our whole life, and we wander away, and God brings us back. And to be able to share that gift of faith, that there are reasons why we believe, and yet it is a faith still. We're invited, as Jesus did to Martha, in the midst of at times not fully seeing the whole picture or understanding, why did this happen? Why did you allow such a thing? Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. That's not the last word, not even far from it. What I'm doing is not less or sufficient to what you think. It's always more than you could ever ask or imagine. And so trust in me, follow me, continue to place your heart, continue to follow me.